This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Beatles. That was their big first song when they came to the United States in 1964. Or 63. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we are back from the bowling alley. We were there on Friday. We loved it. We thank you for joining us today back in the studio on this Monday, December the 13th already. Wow, 12 more days. Ha! Have you done any Christmas shopping? I'll tell you what, I haven't. In a few minutes, Sarah Perry will join us from the Heritage Foundation. She's going to talk to us about a case before the Supreme Court that would decide whether parents can use government tuition vouchers to send their kids to religious schools. A very interesting question. We'll get into the details of that. Stay tuned for it. And more bad news for Biden, unfortunately, this time on his response to crime. Seems like he can't do anything well. You know, war, surplus, border, now crime. And there's also a new poll that shows who would win if Biden and Trump go at it again in 2024. From the Wall Street Journal. We're going to take a look at that and some other things when we talk with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. We may be joined by his brother. We will see. Angelo Ceresi. And by the way, Time Magazine has just announced their Person of the Year. Who do you think it is? We're going to ask Ed if he knows in just a few minutes. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie. The top 10 greatest American playwrights. You know, the ones that write all the plays. This will be an interesting one, so stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. We're getting closer to Christmas, guys. You gotta look good, you know? Come on. Santa Claus and the whole bit and gifts. So get over there to the Master Barbershop. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street. State Road 580 Main Street. Call for your appointment first, 727-733-3773. They're open, by the way, Tuesdays through Fridays, 8:30 to 5, and then Saturday, 8:30 to 2. And a tip of the hat to Good Morning Clearwater, and a double tip of the hat because of their Toys for Tots campaign, very successful. They did a wonderful show Friday from Maple Lanes in Countryside. We were privileged enough to follow them there, and we had a great time. So a tip of the hat to them. Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Well, Ed, I don't know if you've been following the news today. Do you know who the Time Magazine Person of the Year is? And if not, do you want to guess?
I don't know who it is.
Let's put it, you want a hint?
Yeah.
Big time space guy.
Big time space guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't have known either.
Oh,
well. Elon Musk. You know, he's also the richest person in the world.
Yeah.
Mm. He's the richest person in the world. Maybe that's why they named him the Person of the Year.
Got a cut.
You know, he's got Tesla. He's the CEO there. Now he founded SpaceX. So he becomes the Person of the Year. Here's what Time Magazine says. Musk has spent a lifetime defying the haters. Now it seems he's finally in position to put them in their place. For 2021 was the year of Elon Unbound. In April, SpaceX won NASA's exclusive contract to put U.S. astronauts on the moon for the first time since 1972. Okay, well, it sounds like, you know, I can understand why he was the guy. It's pretty good. You know, we've always thought, libertarians tend to think that any industry, including space, is probably done better by people like Elon Musk rather than the federal government. Not that we didn't do a wonderful job getting a man on the moon. We did. And we salute the people, of course, that did that. But all of the things towards space stations and other life and more trips to the moon and the public gets on, you know, it's getting to be kind of second nature that we can now take a group of people, blast off, get out of our atmosphere, tootle around, and then make a nice soft landing somewhere. And they all get out and everybody's happy. And, you know, that's the private sector doing that. It's kind of
well,
cool.
Well, we really need it because you remember Obama mothballed all the shuttles. So we had no way of going to space anymore.
So we had to have the private sector involved.
So thank God for SpaceX and Elon Musk, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
They made it efficient to where the boosters come back to Earth.
Yes.
You know, and they can reuse those. I know the other ones used to splash down, but these return. Makes it easier.
It does. Can land in the soft
land, and you don't
they
have
even
to
have a target they land on.
Yep.
Yeah. Right on the bullseye, in fact. But that's the free market doing that, you know. And we salute them. And we salute Elon Musk. Wonderful. We are going to talk a little bit later about what's going on with Joe Biden. Most of it's not good, you know. He had that discussion with Putin the other day. They claim that, you know, he warned Putin and shook his finger at him about what's going on with the Ukraine. I don't know. There's something about Biden. I don't know. I just wouldn't get intimidated by Biden. I think Putin's a little more intimidating than Biden. But we'll see. None of the poll numbers are looking good. We're going to talk a little bit later about the poll numbers. I was watching Fox News Sunday. By the way, Chris Wallace announced he's leaving. He's been there like 18 years on Fox. And it's kind of a surprise that he's leaving. He's going to go to CNN. I think that's a step down myself. But anyway, he had de Blasio, Mayor de Blasio of New York. And de Blasio is seriously thinking of running for governor. I think the guy's got a tin ear. He now says New York, by the way, is much safer. Much safer since he's been mayor, despite more murders. They have a higher murder rate, but he somehow interprets it overall as being a safer place. He talks about some index of crime, but then his poll numbers are probably lower than Biden's right now. He seems to be, as I say, he has a tin ear. Now that he's kind of trashed New York, he's going to try to trash the state of New York by becoming the governor. So we're going to talk a little bit later about that if our buddy Angelo Ceresi joins us. In the meantime, let us take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court deciding whether parents can use their government tuition vouchers to send their kids to religious schools.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, and we thank you so very much for being with us, and delighted to have Sarah Perry join us. She is a legal fellow at the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, part of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk with Sarah about what the Supreme Court has been busy. God, they got so much on their plate. But they are pondering whether or not parents can use tuition aid for religious instruction. Sarah, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me on.
This is really a very interesting case, and God knows the Supreme Court has got so many things that they are considering. But tell us a little bit about this thing regarding taking government money, basically, and allowing it to be used to send your kid to a religious school. We got this thing about separation of church and state. So what is this all about?
Well, we've had a couple of cases that come out of the Supreme Court that tell us exactly what we can and cannot do when it comes to using public funds for religious entities. And back in 2017, in a case called Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue, the court ruled that states aren't required to subsidize private education, but when they do, they can't cut out religious schools simply because they are religious. Well, this takes that decision and puts it to an even finer point. So in this decision here, Carson v. Macon, the court heard arguments as to whether not just subsidizing schools because they have a religious status is appropriate, but what if you give parents money to put that tuition dollar to work and use it for a religious school? In other words, are you using it for religious instruction? And if so, does that violate the principle of separation of church and state? The First Circuit Court of Appeals had said yes. They said Maine is excluding, rightly eliminating religious schools from educational choice options because it was used for religious instruction. And so they tried to split hairs between, are you sending it because the school is religious in status, or are you sending the money to parents being put to religious educational use, which is really, as the Institute for Justice, the attorneys argued here, that's a distinction without a difference. And I think the Supreme Court, during oral arguments, understood that. They really were not fond of the Solicitor General's arguments that this was ultimately a distinction about how to use the funds, whether the school was religious in nature or by status, or if you were actually using the money to instruct on religious terms and philosophies. And ultimately, in the end, how I think this court is going to rule is that there seem to be at least six justices who were very skeptical of Maine's argument that you could cut out the religious educational institutions strictly because the money given to parents was going to be providing them an education that would include religious subjects. And they're going to go back, I think, to the determination they made a couple of years ago in the Espinoza case and say, listen, you don't have to send tuition money to all schools or to all parents, but if you do, you can't cut them out simply because they're religious or because they teach religious subjects to children. This money is ultimately going to parents They're not subsidizing schools. They're providing educational choice. And those parents should be able to use that private tuition money in any manner they see fit.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's so interesting because it seems like they're walking a bit of a tightrope on this situation. There was here in Florida something, and I know you probably know better than I do, something called the Blaine Amendment. And yep. It was kind of anti-Catholic, wasn't it, when it first came out? The idea was,
sure was.
We're not going to have anything to do with Catholic school education. Is any of that sort of hovering over this?
Yeah, in fact, that's a great point of distinction here. 36 states across the country have these Blaine Amendments written into their constitutions. And back in the late 1800s, there was an attempt at a federal Blaine Amendment because there was so much anti-Catholic bigotry. That failed. That national Blaine Amendment to the federal constitution failed. But that hasn't prevented 36 states from writing those into the charters of their constitutions. That's fine. That's the way representative government should work. It's a principle of federalism. We can go state by state and argue over the constitutionality. But here's what's interesting about Maine. They didn't have a Blaine Amendment. Oh. In fact, up until the 1980s, their particular educational charters allowed private schools to be funded to the same extent as to whether or not they were private secular or private religious. All schools were funded identically until 1980, when they decided that they would invoke a no-aid provision. And you know what this is? This is really sort of a Blaine Amendment by any other name. So it's an attempt to do an end run over a program that had always allowed religious schools to be funded. And so they really tried to winnow down the option for these religious parents to send their kids to religious schools. And let me tell you something about Maine itself. It is very sparsely populated. In fact, only about half of the school districts in the state actually host their own schools. In other words, there's only 183,000 public education students in the entirety of the state. And so they operate by contract with other private schools to make sure that all kids are getting an education, right? So mandatory education laws in all 50 states, kids have to go to school. So if there isn't a public school available readily nearby, they say your tuition dollars, your tax dollars can be used at a private school. However, they said private secular, not private religious. And that was the issue here. The Supreme Court doesn't seem inclined to follow that line of logic. And we heard some very strenuous statements from a lot of the justices, including Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who said, essentially, who are you to make a determination as to whether a school is overtly religious or religious in name only? Because Maine's attorney had said, well, we make a determination. You know, we're going to do some research. We're going to do a little homework, is what he said. And Amy Coney Barrett said, you can't make a determination just looking on the internet. These are decisions that you, as a government official, are constitutionally prohibited from making.
Wow. So interesting. We're talking with Sarah Perry, legal fellow, as you can tell, well-versed in legality at the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, part of the Heritage Foundation. And about 5 days ago, she wrote an article in, I think it was the Daily Signal, on the Supreme Court deciding whether parents can use tuition aid to send their kids to religious schools. Now, we've got vouchers and is money that is handed directly to students in many states, I mean directly to parents in many states, so that they can make a determination. I guess most of those vouchers are allowed to be used for Catholic schools or religious schools. Am I right about that, Sarah?
Yes. If there is no pre-existing Blaine Amendments, which, like I said, a little over half the states in the country have Blaine Amendments, school choice programs operate in such a way that they are funding parents. They're not funding schools. That money funnels directly to the parents who are in the best position to make a determination as to what constitutes the best education for their child. And the Supreme Court has uniformly said, listen, you don't have to create a benefit. But once you create a benefit, you cannot cut out religious schools or religious parents simply because they're religious. That's a very critical constitutional distinction.
Yeah, sure. It certainly seems to be. Now, when will we When will this decision, when will we hear about what they've decided at the Supreme Court on this?
Well, you know, we've seen a couple of early decisions from the Supreme Court, which is fairly uncharacteristic. The term just began in October, but we've seen a few trickle out here into the middle of December. But I'm anticipating, because this is a bigger question, and it's one that doesn't require emergency relief. In other words, we haven't heard any petitions to be able to stop something immediately.
Yeah.
This is a case that is normally going to follow the regular track. So I anticipate we won't hear a decision until probably May or June at the end of the Supreme Court's term next year.
Boy, they've really had some interesting cases that they're deciding this year, you know, with the abortion situation and some of these other things that are going on. But this one is just as important, if you think about it, you know, with...
It really is. They've heard religious liberty, gun rights, abortion. They have got a number of very hot-button issues on the docket this year. It's been a very busy season
for
us, and I think it's just about to get busier.
It really is. Let me ask you this, because you are an expert on things, all things educational to some extent. Do you see a trending... Now, of course, we've got this virus that's screwing everything up, but do you see a trending in our educational system? Are kids getting better educated today than a generation ago or a couple of generations ago? I know it's not an easy question to answer. In certain ways, I'm sure we are, but it seems to me in the basics, I worry about how educated these kids are coming out of high school.
Oh, well, you're not the only person who's worried about that.
No.
Who was former senior counsel at the Department of Education. I will tell you, all you have to do is look at our international scores on economic placement and where they put us among some of the world's biggest competitors. And we're at about 50%. We've fallen to about the middle of the pack.
Wow.
In terms of international competitiveness on math and English specifically. Our proficiencies are down across the board. And I think part of that is a function that we're seeing sort of the industrialized education complex in particularly liberal presidential and legislative regimes come in and mess with a good thing.
Yes.
1950s math and science and English have now suddenly been upended, and we have tried to institute everything from the Common Core state standards to social emotional learning standards to critical race and gender identity theory. I think we are more concerned now about political ideologues and pleasing the gods of political correctness than we are about producing kids who are going to be internationally competitive and setting them up for future success. We are teaching to the test. We aren't reversing that order and actually giving them fundamentals on which they can rely long term. So that makes cases like this one, the Carson v. Macon case, all the more critically important, because ultimately, it's about what parents can do with tax dollars to educate their children. And I will tell you, universally, the private schools were much quicker to respond with online platforms, flex learning, tutoring, and sort of creative enterprise solutions to the pandemic than the public schools were. In fact, my three children are still in public school. They're approaching the end. I've got two in high school and one in middle school, and it took about 2 to 3 weeks before there was even an online program up and running to educate the kids.
Really?
I'm thinking, my tax dollars at work, and yet I have friends who are sending their kids to private schools, some private secular, some private religious, and within a few days, the lights were on and kids were back in the virtual classroom.
Yeah.
So I do have concerns about the future of education, and I think it's a function to a great extent of who sits in the White House and what those priorities become.
Well said. We've lost our focus overall, and I'm old enough to remember we were dominating in just about everything educational back, you know, in the 50s and early 60s. We've really lost our focus. Maybe we can get back our focus. Thank you so very much, Sarah, for coming on. It was a real pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Sarah Perry, Heritage Foundation. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, we got maybe both of them, Andrew Ceresi at least. We're going to talk a little bit about Joe Biden and a possible rematch between Biden and Trump.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Well, I was watching Mayor de Blasio of New York. He was on Fox News Sunday yesterday, and I feel much safer now. He's telling us that things are really not quite as bad as we might have thought. He says that New York City is much safer now than it was when he took his reign 8 years ago, despite the fact that they've got more murders. He says, 8 years I've been mayor, index crimes, major crime, down 11%. And we did it bringing police and community closer together. Golly, that's not exactly what I thought I was watching. But then you got to remember that there are lies, there are great lies, and then there are statistics. And de Blasio has gone down to the basement to pull out these statistics. We've got both Angelo and Andrew. And Angelo, did you happen to watch any of that interview? And or what do you think about de Blasio? Now he wants to run for governor of your state.
That's a joke. He's been a joke as a mayor of New York all along. I didn't get to see it because, you know, we really don't care about de Blasio. upstate New York. But, you know, we were concerned about him running for governor, but he doesn't stand a chance. Attorney General just pulled out, too.
Yes.
Right now in the rankings.
The Attorney General did. What's going on there? Is it because the whole thing with Cuomo, or what's going on with that?
Well, her polling numbers were terrible. I mean, she only garnered like 2 or 3%. Mm-hmm. And Kathy Hochul, I guess, is leading them all anyway.
Yes.
And de Blasio, he'll pull out before too long, too. He just wants to stay in the news, you know?
I mean, he ran for president for about a cup of coffee. He had about a 0.5%, you know, when he was running. He was like one of the very first to drop out of the presidential race. He was still mayor of New York at the time. This guy's got a tin ear. So, Andrew, you're also from the state of New York.
Don't tell anybody that.
But you had sense enough to get out.
That's right.
So I want to switch to Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And the Wall Street Journal has gotten a survey that says a potential Biden-Trump general election showdown. Wall Street Journal releases a survey. It says here that if they ran again, the way things are right now, Biden would get 46% support and Trump would get 45% support. I would have thought, looking at what Biden has done, that there would be no contest, but apparently it's neck and neck.
Well, first of all, Biden's not going to be around in another 3 years. He's going to be in a mental institution of 6 feet underground. That's number one.
Well, then he won't have as much of a chance.
Number two, what did you say that was? The New York Times?
No, it was the Wall Street Journal. But they didn't run the poll themselves.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal, too. Give me a break. All these newspapers, They're trying to do anything they can to stay alive, no matter which one it is.
Yeah.
They're selling more toilet paper than they are newspapers, believe me.
Oh, they are. There's no question.
The toilet papers got better use than the newspapers.
Apparently, you can use the newspaper for that as well. But then you got printer's ink all over you.
Here's how good Biden is doing. Did you hear yesterday that a mother and a daughter got killed in Texas by an illegal immigrant driving an SUV with six illegals he was smuggling in?
Terrible.
You did hear that, didn't you? You know what, Paul?
Yes.
Make believe that SUV is a gun, and Joe Biden's the one pulling the trigger, buddy, with his open borders. This is how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's got blood on his hands. He's going to do an impeachable movement by keeping that border open. How many people have been killed so far this year by illegals, Paul? We had a couple in Florida, didn't we?
Yeah, and then all the drugs that kill people that are coming over that southern border that we are not stopping.
So I would rather like to see a poll of who kills more, illegal immigrants or guns. I believe illegal immigrants are killing more than guns in this country, Paul.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You mean like Alec Baldwin? I did not pull that trigger.
Is that an Alec Baldwin moment for Biden, do you think?
But, you know, look at how quiet it is about that. We're not hearing nothing about that. And you know what? It doesn't even matter, because who cares about Alec Baldwin? We need to worry about what's going on in this country.
Yeah, but I wanted him to come back on Saturday Night Live. He does a wonderful imitation of Donald Trump.
I told you what's
really
going to happen.
He really talked bad about President Trump, Alec Baldwin.
Like I told you, I believe Donald Trump ought to go there and do his impersonation of Alec Baldwin.
I think they would have a great rating. Can you imagine doing that, handing Trump an unloaded gun? Well, they probably hand him a loaded gun. But anyway, that would be an interesting scenario.
I still don't believe 46% of the population in this country actually want Biden as president. You have to ask them, are you better off today than you were yesterday with President Trump?
It seems like it's. Oh, I got one other thing I want to throw at both of you, which kind of bolsters what you're saying, and that is a poll now on how well Joe Biden is handling the crime issue. And it says here, Biden's approval rating on crime has plummeted as smash-and-grab lootings plague California and other areas. About 36% of Americans, 36%, support his handling of crime. And that's an ABC Ipsos poll. And I would think that they would tend to be liberal.
Those are the ones, Paul, that are doing the smash-and-grab.
Yeah, the smash.
12 days till Christmas to shop.
I tell you what, Chicago, Los Angeles. I'm not so sure about New York, Angelo, but... Boy,
I haven't seen any of that up here yet.
Well, that's good. That's good. It's horrible in California.
Look who they got. You know, what gets me is the governor that they had a recall on it, and they still put him back in.
I know.
I just don't get it. So, you know what? I do not feel bad for California. The majority of the people voted him back in again.
Yeah, they did.
So they deserve exactly what they got coming now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you can see the exodus of businesses and people.
Huh.
Everything is going wrong over there, and prices are, it's unaffordable. It's just unaffordable.
But, Paul, they still voted him in.
I know. I got you. I agree with you.
Where's the rationale of these people? I mean, what are they smoking?
There was some good news, by the way, for Republicans when it comes to the Hispanic vote. We touched on it a little bit on Friday. And that is that, believe it or not, they did a survey that says, if I can find it here, that virtually, I think another Wall Street Journal survey, that virtually half of the Hispanics that were interviewed in the survey leaned Republican. Now, these are citizens that are Hispanic, but and the survey numbers were rather low, so that you can't just, it's not like a where they did thousands and thousands. But if there is a trending towards Republicans for Hispanics, maybe that's what will force Biden to close the southern border. He doesn't want any more Republican voting Hispanics coming in. What do you think, Andrew?
Right, you know, Paul, speaking of things reversing,
yeah.
Okay, did you see the poll that they had with Ron DeSantis versus Nikki Refried Bean and Charlie Flip-Flop Chris?
No, but tell us about it.
They have either one of them beating Ron DeSantis.
They don't? You're saying that DeSantis would crush them?
No, they're saying that they would be crushed by, DeSantis would be crushed by either one of those two.
What survey company did that survey?
Well, I believe it was right in the, what is the newspaper we have around here? I haven't bought it in years. What's it called?
Oh, you mean the Tampa Bay Untimeliness?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
No, I can't believe it either.
They're coming off of their heads, Paul. The Democrats aren't even putting money in the governor's race.
No, they're Charlie Crist.
You can't trust these polls, Paul.
Those two
you can't
aren't
trust mm-hmm. any one of them.
Yeah. I can't see DeSantis losing. It would be a shock to me. I mean, it would just be a shock.
There's no question about it. Did you see what he's putting in a new bill, Paul, in his budget? He is allowing $8 million, or was it $80 million, one of the two, to take care of the people that Biden is shipping here in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
Sending them up to Maryland and wherever.
He's going to send them up to Maryland?
Yeah.
He's going to send them to Delaware.
To Delaware.
Oh, is
yeah.
He's wow.
Sending them back up there. He put it in his budget, Paul.
That's good.
His new budget. He's got it written in there. There's so much money to deport these people up north.
Is he going to send them by Uber or by airplane?
I don't know, but you know, he's also not giving any contracts to any companies that are allowing to help Biden with this illegal immigration in Florida. He's not licensing them. They will not get no contracts, and he will confiscate their equipment that they're bringing him in here with.
That is going to, I think, anybody that's a citizen is going to be applauding that. That's what I would say about what he's doing. Yeah.
Speaking
about citizens and non-citizens, the New York City Council last week passed a measure, Angelo, allowing 800,000 non-citizen residents to vote in local elections.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
I can't believe it.
And the New York people are going to allow that to happen. And you could thank de Blasio for pushing that.
And we're worried about the integrity of elections. And the Democrats claim, you know, voter suppression. That they're going to do this? I can't believe it.
New York City.
I can't believe it.
If the people of New York City accept it, they're crazy. They're just even to allow it to happen.
It would just outrage me if I was if I lived in New York City.
Right. I mean, those people should be revolting right now.
Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew.
Paul, I was reading yesterday that the UN building in New York City just put up a new statue.
Oh.
They unveiled it.
What is it?
Okay. Have you heard of the Beast and Revelations?
Yes, the beast being the devil, yes.
Right. They actually put up a statue that resembles the so-called beast that they're talking about in Revelations, Paul.
Ah!
They unveiled it about 4 days ago. Now, here they are taking down statues with our history, and they're putting up statues of Satan? You wonder what's happening to New York?
Angelo, have you heard anything about this?
Andy was telling me about that the other day.
Okay.
I got to check it out. You know,
I haven't seen anything about it.
You know, we haven't had no, we had that windstorm, you know, over the weekend where we had like gale force winds.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, we were without power for about 20 hours.
Oh, wow.
Just catching up on
You're catching up on things. I have not heard anything, Andrew, about this statue. Is it a standalone statue that they're going to put up, or what?
Standalone statue that's already up.
It's already up at the United Nations.
At the United Nations building in New York.
And what was the purpose of it? Are they making a dedication, or what?
I have no idea what the purpose of it, except to me, they're going to be worshiping Satan up there.
Yeah, but today,
and you know what? I believe they are. I believe they are, because look at New York.
Well, there is a satanic influence over the politics in New York. There's no question about
that. We have a new mask mandate that went into effect today now. In all private buildings and everything.
Yes. Was that, you talk about the entire state, or are you talking about the
state of New York, yeah?
Wow. So now if you go into a private building, you got to wear a mask?
Yeah, wear a mask. They got to wear a mask in public building. Every public building's everything.
So you cannot go into any building.
Right, without a mask.
That includes retail, right, and restaurants.
Includes retail, yes.
Wow.
Have the mask police get us now.
Wow. You know, we come down to Florida, Angelo. We're free as a bird.
I'm talking my wife into it.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll tell you.
You know, the reason I had stayed up here, Andy moved down there years ago, but, you know, I had to take care of my parents because my other brother, you know, he can't really do anything.
Yes,
he's
of
been
course.
Sick. So, you know, it's just my wife and I, and we've been taking care of both of the parents, and then they both passed away now, so I'd like to move down there. Believe me when I tell you.
Oh, I believe you.
Tomorrow.
So many people are leaving blue states like New York and California because of the craziness of what is going on. And when they move down to these states like Florida and other I would call red states, the simple difference is we are less constricted with the tentacles of the government. In this case, the state government. We just are allowed that freedom. If I want to put on a mask, I can put on a mask. But if I don't want to put on a mask, generally speaking in Florida, I don't have to, you know?
Paul, I had a Canadian come in last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Just got back from Canada. He says, Kenny, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, you know. I haven't had a mask off in 2 years, and now I don't have to wear my mask. I says, well, you know, we didn't follow your people's rules. We've been open, the mask mandate. Well, they're just not reporting it, they says. They're not reporting it. You people aren't the lowest, believe me. So
wow.
I walked out and I came back and I said, Kenny, well, let me get you a mask out of the back room because I don't want you to feel that, you know, you're going to catch anything with this. He wouldn't put a mask on. So he listens to one thing and does another.
Yeah, I mean, this is crazy, isn't it? I feel bad for all of
it. I sat there and laughed at him right in his face.
Oh, Lord. Did you give him a nice haircut?
I didn't do it. He was lucky. He wouldn't be coming back.
Oh, goodness. Well, my friends, that concludes another Amos and Andy session here with Angelo and Andrew. And
you got it, buddy.
We always thank both of you for coming on. Angelo, thanks so much. Keep well. And Andrew, we'll talk with you on Wednesday.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
Okay. Great, great minds think alike. Thank you, guys. Thank you. All right. Very good. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, we got a lot of things we still need to talk about. But among other things, the top 10 greatest American playwrights. I'm going to raise a fuss.
I'm going to raise a holler. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back with the final segment of Freedom Works, and thank you very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, and we thank you for joining us. If you cannot listen to us at those times, thanks to Big Ed, You can go to our website because he has captured all of our shows, puts them on podcast. You can go there, click on the podcast button, and select the show you want to listen to. You'll know who the guest is, and you'll know the topic, and you'll also know the top 10. Just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. That's O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, you know, with all this transgender, now, Ed, I don't know if you were, did you see where this transgender broke all of these records? I think it was swimming records, and it really ticked off all the girls. Did we talk about that on Friday? We might have talked about it over at the bowling alley. It was, anyway, the reason I bring that up, parents at Estrella Foothills High School, that's in Arizona, a town called Goodyear, Arizona, have successfully halted a Transgender Awareness Week that they were going to hold there that aimed to push left-wing gender theory on the school's community. The week originally included a variety of different activities, including wearing name tags with students' pronouns. You know how that goes, right? The student pronoun. Wearing rainbow colors to celebrate the LGBT movement. And another day on which students were instructed to wear blue, white, and pink, which are the colors of the transgender flag. So they were going to have a spirit week. Well, the parents found out about it. Documents gathered from public records requests reveal that parents and students were able to successfully stop spirit week after the first day. One parent condemned it as a radical sexual lifestyle. Another parent told administrators that, quote, my children go to school to learn and be educated about core subjects, not people's sexuality. Isn't it wild that anybody would even come up with the idea?
I think they keep pushing the envelope until they can go further and further.
Yes, they do.
It used to be they just wanted to blend in and get along. Now they want to stand out. They want special things. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. All right. Now, I watched one very exciting Bucks football game.
Ugh, I'm still tired.
It went into overtime. Or did it? Yes, it did. It went into overtime.
I should have said this while Angelo and Andrew were on the phone, that going into the stadium, of course, the entrances are all jammed. And it was probably about 30%. The fans there were
Buffalo. I thought that I could tell by the crowd noise there was a goodly number of Buffalo fans.
You know, Buffalo fans are loud. They're a little obnoxious, but they're not. But they're not crazy. They're not like Philly fans. You know, they don't start fights. They were, you know,
Philly fans can be mean.
On their way in, as we were going in, they started their chant. You know, let's go Buffalo, let's go Buffalo. When they stopped to breathe, I started the chant: "Go home Buffalo, go home Buffalo."
Did.
And then
Very
it went back and forth,
you.
And then I broke out the universal chant. Let's go, Brandon, and both sides got along, and we had a great time.
So you came to some sort of a common
point of
agreement.
Yeah, we did. See, now Republicans and Democrats just do
you
that.
You should be an ambassador.
They should just sing the Let's Go, Brandon
Let's go
chant.
Brandon.
They'll all get along.
Everybody.
You know?
People in Buffalo felt the same way as people in Tampa Bay. I see.
So, I got to tell you, that was with the crowd noise and the ending and the excitement had to be top five game all time I've ever seen.
Yeah. And for those of you non-sports fans, Tampa Bay Bucks beat Buffalo in overtime in that game. It was a very exciting game.
Yeah.
And I think that
last play,
quarterback Tom, yes.
Well, it was the play in overtime that ended it. Yeah.
It did end it. Quarterback Tom Brady broke some more records, I guess.
Yeah,
amazing.
Actually, he got all-time completions record, 7,000 and change. I don't know what it was.
Wow.
And then the touchdown that Rashard Perriman got, that was Tom Brady's 700th touchdown.
Now that is amazing.
That's combined.
Touchdown pass.
That's combined playoffs and regular season.
It's amazing.
So how quickly a Bucks media member ran out there to grab the football right off the field and tuck it away and bring it back to time, because they had that
very
problem
thoughtful.
With Mike Evans gave that one away.
Oh, yeah. We
remember
didn't
that
want to
one?
Do
the
that.
The 600th, they gave that away.
Brady might want that.
So yeah.
Brady must have a huge room for all of his trophies.
Probably got a house just for his
accomplishments. Okay. We have a goodie. Top 10 Greatest American Playwrights. By the way, StageMilk.com came up with this one. And it's for you people that enjoy American plays and you've gone to the theater and everything, yeah. You might get a kick out of this. So here we go. Top 10 Greatest American Playwrights. Number 10. Tony Kushner is his name. Have you ever heard of him, Ed?
If you put a gun to my head, I could name any of these.
You'll know some of them.
Okay.
But he wrote Angels in America, uh-huh. Millennium Approaches. That's one of them. And another one called Angels in America, Perestroika. Okay? All right. Number 9. Playwright August Wilson. He was known for two particular plays, Fences and The Piano Lesson. All right. Number 8. David Mamet. Or David Mamet, depending upon which way you want to pronounce it. Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross, and another one called American Buffalo. He did a lot of Chicago theater. I remember that. Number 7, Neil Simon. You've heard of Neil Simon.
Sure.
Okay. Brighton Beach Memories, Barefoot in the Park. I think he had one called Plaza Suite. Anyway, he did a lot of them. Number 6, ever hear of Thornton Wilder?
No.
I did a play thing on him one time. Anyway, he wrote such things as Our Town, well-known play, and The Skin of Our Teeth. All right, number 5. Sam Shepard, not the actor. Sam Shepard, Buried Child and Fool for Love were two of his. Number 4. Ed is starting to fall asleep. He's not a big fan of the playwright, but that's all right, Ed. You can yawn. No problem. Number 4 is Edward Albee. Edward Albee. Now, you've heard of this one, I know. You've heard of the play Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yeah.
Because they made it into a movie, right, with Elizabeth Taylor. All right. And he also wrote The Zoo Story. All right. Number 3. Eugene O'Neill, who used to be considered our number one greatest playwright, but no longer, perhaps. He wrote things like Long Day's Journey into Night and The Iceman Cometh. Number 2, Tennessee Williams. Tennessee Williams, A Streetcar Named Desire, The Glass Menagerie, among others. All right, Ed. I won't even ask you because you have no idea who the number one, but roll the drum and we'll tell you. And this guy was married to Marilyn Monroe, Arthur Miller.
Hmm.
He wrote Death of a Salesman.
Heard of that.
You've heard of that, yeah. Right? And he wrote one called The Crucible, and both of them were made into movies. Death of a Salesman was a long-running play, and you know who did it in a movie?
No.
Dustin Hoffman.
Really?
Dustin Hoffman played Willie Loman. Willie Loman was the protagonist, the salesman with the family, and he was trying to appease his wife and his two sons, and John Malkovich in the movie. John Malkovich played.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he played one of his sons. And anyway, Arthur Miller was married to Marilyn Monroe.
Wow.
Now, you would think that those were two people that wouldn't get along, but they did. Anyway, that's it. Thank you so very much for listening. We will be back on Wednesday. Be good, be safe, and remember, freedom works.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. Better just use your mind.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear now says 64 tornado deaths are now confirmed in his state, and more are likely, with more than 100.